Grace is used in a lot of different ways, much like love used to be. You know, there's three definitions of love in the Bible, but people get all screwed up on the real meaning of love. I mean, if you really love God, how can you love God and love your dog? I mean, they're on the same plane. Oh, I love that movie. Oh, I love that spaghetti. They don't mean the same. Well, grace is the same problem. Think about the ways people use grace. The banks, for goodness sakes, use it. They give you a grace period. Leaders fall from grace. What does that mean? Musicians, oh, they hit a graceful note. What does that mean? He was so graceful. What does that mean? We say grace at our meals. I know a woman named Grace. We sing about it. Beautiful song. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. We sing it, we preach it, we teach it. But do we really understand it? I was going to test you guys this morning. I was going to take my mic and I was going to walk out and say, do you believe in grace? Do you believe in grace? But do you got you kids up front here? Do you believe in grace? But I don't want to embarrass anybody. Because you know what you'd say? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I believe in grace. All right. Everybody in the room is all on one page now. We all believe in it. Let me ask you four questions. Answer it in your heart. Have you been changed by it? Question one. Have you ever been strengthened by it? Question two. Have you ever been emboldened by it? Strength and power that you couldn't understand. The one I love most. Have you ever been softened by it? Have you seen a grown man cry? You see, when grace happens, it says in Ezekiel 36:26, we don't receive a nice compliment from God. Good job, Randy. No. We get a new heart. That's a big difference between those things. Big difference. For he says, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And it further says in Galatians 2:20, it is no longer I who lives, Paul said, but Christ who lives in me. For you see, when we ask Christ to live in us, we don't experience a philosophy. We don't experience an ideal. We experience a real person in the form of a spirit that comes and indwells in us and gives us the power that I'm talking about. That's what happens with grace. A heart receives Christ. How? How? This is pretty complicated stuff. You must have a book about that. No, I don't have a book. I got one sentence. Whosoever believes in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever confesses with his mouth that Jesus is Lord and believes in his heart, you will be saved. That's it. Doesn't get any simpler than that. Doesn't matter what church you go to. Doesn't matter how much money you give. Doesn't matter how many prayers you say. Acknowledge who he is. Confess it with your mouth and believe in your heart. And you will be saved and get a new heart. Signed, sealed, and delivered. Sincerely yours, Jesus Christ. I know, isn't that cool? That is really cool. So you're struggling. I've got good news for you. 1 John 3:19 says, we will be confident. This was written in the Bible. We will be confident when we stand before the Lord, Even if our hearts condemn us, because that's that doubt thing. That's those voices that said, no, you're not good enough. No, you didn't do the right things. We will be confident when we stand before the Lord, even if our hearts condemn us, for our God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. That's quite a promise. That is quite a promise. So knowing that, it goes on further to say, I love this part, so let us come near to God with a sincere heart and a sure faith, because we have been made free from a guilty conscience. Your only part is you have to believe it. You don't have to do anything else. This gets into the slippery, slimy road, you know, that people have a hard time with. Oh, come on, and they slide off the edges. That can't be true. Yeah, that's what it says. I didn't invent it. That's what it says. That's all you need to do. I'm going to make it even more fascinating for you. See, there's two parts to this. The other part is you get a part, you know, right? What's your part? Believe. That's your part. Well, how do I believe? You just believe. And here comes the real interesting part. That belief comes from a word that we call faith. You know what the definition of faith is? Things hoped for but not seen. Things hoped for but not seen. Yeah. You want to know why? That faith that you have isn't even yours. The Bible says God gave you the gift of faith. Not only did he give you grace, he gives you the power to believe it. There's your paradox. God's giving, are you taking? Many don't. They just don't. It's called free will. Free will. God provided, God gave you the power. Boy, I'm just amazed. I mean, I was there for a long time. I already told you that. I was there for a long time. I rebelled in many, many ways, and I finally stood for Jesus. I saw no other choice. It was true, and I believed it. Romans says in chapter 8, has one of my favorite verses, or actually stories. We don't have to turn there, because you know it so well. It's a picture of grace. It's a picture of the time that the Pharisees thought they would trap Jesus. So they went out and they visited a woman that had a notorious reputation. You are familiar with her, the adulterous woman. All right? That's a prostitute for those who are interested. And they went out and caught her in the very act. Now, we're not talking accusatory. This was, you know, what did you do with these things? No, they caught her in the very act. And they brought her to Jesus. They threw her down on the road. And they said, there, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery. What are you going to do? The Bible says stone her. This is a great picture of history. Jesus looked at them and he stooped down in the dirt and he wrote something. Nobody knows what he wrote. Theologians contend that perhaps he wrote liars, hypocrites, Judaizers want to live by legalism. But it doesn't matter. What he did was he then stood up. And he stood up for her. And he looked at them. And you know what he did. He looked at them all and he said, why don't you who's without sin cast the first stone? Let's get rid of her. Let's kill her. All you righteous, self-righteous people. Let's stone her right here. But you who is out sin, cast the first stone. You know what happened? The most mature, wise, experienced ones, the older folks who'd made enough mistakes, knew. What'd they do? They dropped the stones and walked off. And one by one, they all disappeared. God's good. Jesus looked at her and said, "Where's your accusers?" "I have none, sir." He said, "You're right. And I don't accuse you either. Go and sin no more." Do you suppose she was changed? Yeah, we know she was changed. I love that story. That is grace at its best. God coming to earth to reveal himself and be challenged and stooping down to help a woman and rising up and standing up for her. That's what happens today. That's exactly what happens today. God enters the world through the Holy Spirit. He presents himself to people day in and day out, and some believe and some rant back in his face, and some accept him. And you know what he's doing? He's standing up for us. Romans 8:34 says, "He is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for you." I no longer live. We're a little behind. Jump forward. This is an important verse. Romans 8:34. "He is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for you." We found it. And that's very important, because that leads me to my next favorite example. Me. Once I was lost, and now I'm found. Once I was blind, but now I see. Once I was in prison, and now I'm free. That's real. I won't go into my testimony. I'm just standing here telling you I'm a changed man. I don't always show it because I'm human. But Hebrews 10:21-22 says, and I believe this, "Since we have a great high priest over God's house, let us come near to God with a sincere heart and a sure faith, because we have been made free from a guilty conscience." That's me. I hope it's you. I have a sincere heart. I'm weak, and I'm a sinner. I you know, it's funny. I'm not a sinner. Just let's get the record straight. I'm a saint. I am, whether you like it or not. The Bible's full of them. Every person who believes in Jesus is referred to as a saint. Did you know that? So I'm in that bucket. My problem is I'm a saint who sins. Yeah, what are you laughing at? You do too. But I have a sincere heart. And here's the best part. Because of my faith, I'm clear of a guilty conscience. 1 John 1:9 says, "If you are faithful and ask for forgiveness of sins, Jesus is just and righteous, and he will forgive you of your sins." Boy, I hope you take advantage of that. Makes a difference every day. Makes a difference. Clear slate. No, I don't want a clear slate. I want to go to work feeling really ugly. No. Ask for forgiveness. Clean the slate. Why would you carry all that baggage? You don't have to. God's provided a way. 1 John 1:9. Ask forgiveness and he'll give it to you. Look, folks, I'm not perfect. Far from it. Here's what I'm confident of. I'm loved. And I'm saved. I don't deserve it, but God did it. And that's called grace. God's riches. Unmerited favor. I did nothing to deserve it, but he did it anyway. Why am I so confident? Because Hebrews 7:25 tells me the debt was paid. He paid it with his blood. God in the flesh came down and poured his blood over the world's sin, all of it, yours and mine. And I believe it. So, folks, I'm doing really good. Don't listen to the lies of condemnation. Don't listen to the accusation of lies. There's a great accuser out there, you know. I know I get too spiritual here, but he's called the devil. Satan. He's real. You don't believe he's real? Ask half the people in this room. They've been assailed by him. Maybe more. Maybe all of you. And all he does is accuse constantly. He reminds you of your unworthiness. He reminds you of how bad you are. Are you going to believe him? Or are you going to believe what God says? What does God say? You are spiritually alive. You are heavenly positioned. You are connected to God. And you are an honored child of his. That is a tremendous resume. If you had that resume, you'd get any job you want. I just saw a buddy of mine back there. He's in the middle of a period of challenge right now. He needs grace. He needs power. He needs to know God's in control. We all do. If you can wrap your heart and your mind around this, you'll begin to understand what grace means. So remember this. And you will, when you have doubts and fears. Colossians 3:3 says that your life, once you believe, is hidden in Christ. Nothing can take it away. Jesus says, whomsoever the Lord God has given me, no man, nothing will pluck them from my hand. In the world of theology, they call that eternal salvation. Never to be taken away. I believe that. That will give you power. So, folks, it boils down to this. Do you want to believe in grace? Or do you want to continue the earthly struggle with everything that assails you? I certainly hope you choose grace because it's free. Amen. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, I don't know who's dealing with whatever they're dealing with out there. We prayed before the service that your Holy Spirit would be present. Tanya sung about it. You're welcome here. You are here. Right now, you're talking to somebody. Right now, you're telling somebody, brother, daughter, son, I'm here. I love you. Nothing really else matters. I pray that their heart will be open to that voice. That they will begin to understand the beauty and the wonder and the power of grace in the name of Jesus. That they will apply it. That they will begin to understand what you have offered us. Life in the full. I thank you for each one who's here today. I pray that you have ministered to them, and I pray that their hearts are encouraged. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.